The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you. How are you?
Background noise that we might be experiencing. I'm doing an outside broadcast today, so I hope that you can hear me clearly enough.
An outside broadcast? Anthony, it makes you sound, I don't know, like you're in the trenches or something.
Not quite in the trenches. But it's interesting to note that, you know, with the ever decreasing numbers of people who are infected with corona, the numbers really reduced dramatically. And now the government has come out saying that they do intend to rescind the requirement to wear a mask in an outside public place. But they're not going to do it quite yet. They're only going to do it after the Yom HaTzmaut holidays in about 2 weeks from now. But of course, people have already taken that as a message. And have taken it upon themselves to decide that they're not going to go with masks any longer. So definitely a noticeable reduction in the number of people moving around outside wearing masks. I mean, there are still a lot of people who do wear masks, but I think we've now seen, you know, the peak of that activity and certainly a noticeable reduction. And, of course, we're heading tomorrow into Yom HaShoah. There's a lot of discussion that we can have about Yom HaShoah. I was a little perturbed this morning on the Israeli radio to hear a talk show host saying that he doesn't really think that the Holocaust has any real relevance to us here in Israel, to us in this generation. And I just wonder whether this whole notion of never again, whether the generation that has decided to ensure that that will never happen again hasn't potentially shot itself in the foot to some degree, because now that, you know, people grow up believing that it can never happen again, believing that we have a certain level of security, that the Holocaust isn't really relevant to our thought process, have we actually created some sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy in this sense, because now the current generation feels that it's not relevant, because they grow up with such security, with such a feeling of stability, with such a feeling that it can never happen again, that they don't really need to think about it any longer. Is that an issue that we need to deal with now? Is that a new problem, you know, in the light of what's happened over the last 70 odd years? You know, that's just a discussion point. Perhaps we can pick it up tomorrow.
I think we should. I think it's an important one.
One of the things that really interests me is our relationship with Germany. You know, we grew up with parents and grandparents who would never step foot in Germany, who would never buy a Mercedes, who would never interact with German people. What relevance has that approach got today? Do we still need to feel some sort of animosity towards the younger generation of Germans who might not even have been born in the period of the Holocaust? Do we need to feel some sort of animosity towards German companies that were involved, somehow actively involved in those days in the Holocaust, but of course now are under different management and different philosophies and different policies? What's our attitude towards all of that these days? It's also a discussion that I'm not quite sure on which side of the fence I fall.
I think it's an important one, and let's reserve that for tomorrow, and we can invite listeners to participate as well, because I do think it's important to some extent what we're saying is that we need to redefine our memory and the relevance of certain aspects. But let's hold that and continue that conversation tomorrow. Let's just talk about the 24th Knesset that was sworn in yesterday, as Prime Minister Netanyahu was handed the mandate to form a new government. What is the procedure, Anthony, that follows now?
Well, as expected, Prime Minister Netanyahu was invited to form a government. It was really noticeable that President Rudi Rivlin had a heavy heart yesterday in a number of aspects. And he actually used those words that he does things with a heavy heart. He was involved, first of all, in handing the Prime Minister the mandate to form the government, knowing full well, or believing in his heart of hearts, that the likelihood of a government being formed is very slim indeed. And he said that, but he also said that he is forced to do this. He's forced to hand the mandate over. And I think his plan is, as we've discussed previously, that he's not going to hand it over to a second party in the event that a government can't be formed over the next 28 days, because that's what Prime Minister Netanyahu has at his disposal now to form a government. He has 28 days. And then my suspicion is that the president will then hand the mandate to the Knesset. The Knesset has a 21-day period within which any member of the Knesset is invited to form a government. And so I think that that's tantamount to almost handing the mandate to the opposition, because during that 21-day, that's his way of covering the possibility of the opposition forming a mandate. What we do know is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has reached out now to Naftali Bennett. Naftali Bennett is being cast as the bad guy of politics at the moment. He seems to have really done some damage to his relationship with Yair Lapid and the Change camp. They seem to really have distanced themselves from him over the last day or two. Not quite sure exactly what's gone on behind the scenes where they are concerned, but they are really have some animosity almost towards him as a result of things that have been happening behind the scenes. Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be jumping on the opportunity to immediately invite Naftali Bennett in to see whether he might not be able to convince him to become part of a Likud-led coalition. But even with Naftali Bennett's votes in the bag, the Prime Minister won't have the 61 seats that he needs in order to form the government. So my expectation is that we will have a 28-day period during which the Likud will fail to form a government. Then we will have the mandatory 21-day period, during which time the mandate is handed to the Knesset for anybody to form a government. And then we effectively will go back to another round of elections, unfortunately. And that kind of mood was reflected in the opening of the Knesset and the swearing-in of the 24th Knesset since the founding of the State of Israel. Usually it's a very festive affair with lots of celebrations. Not much in the way of COVID restrictions these days, even though the last Knesset that was sworn in virtually this time around. It was done in person, not many restrictions in place, but certainly a feeling that this is not an event to celebrate. And again, the president in his speech made it clear that he's really not quite sure what he's doing there opening this Knesset, because it seems quite likely that it'll have to be dissolved before too long. And he really wasn't in a mood to appear for the customary photographs that are normally taken of the various leaders of the Knesset, parties with the president and meetings beforehand with the Knesset speaker. He really was in no mood for any of that and decided not to appear for those events. He just came, he did his minimal bit in order to open the Knesset, and then he went along his way. So those were the events of yesterday, and I think the mood really reflects the reality of where we find ourselves right now, which is not in the most advantageous situation from a political perspective.
Absolutely, indeed. Before we go to the next story, I just want to read you a message from Jeff. And Anthony, just to give you a bit of context, yesterday I was going through news headlines, and I always covered JTA, Jewish Telegraphic Agency, and they covered some anti-Semitic incident. I think it was in Belgium. I don't even really recall, where some dolls were left outside a Jewish cemetery. It wasn't a major incident, but it certainly was a hate, intended as a hate, I don't know, crime, but certainly it was anti-Semitic. And I was wondering if it is necessary for these types of publications, specifically the Jewish publications, to report on every minor incident of anti-Semitism that happens anywhere in the world. And part of my reason for that is I've become increasingly aware that certain types of I would say the left-leaning Jewish publications, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way at all, I'm just saying where they stand, often we find that there is a significant focus on Holocaust and anti-Semitic incidents. And I was wondering out loud if that isn't really what defines Jewish identity for some sectors in our community. And what I went on to say is I wonder if they should be reporting on all of those minor incidents. That's kind of the context. And Jeff says, and I appreciate this message, for Howard's attention, I send this message after a lot of thought. I feel that you are wrong to say that we shouldn't report anti-Semitic attacks, because if we don't, who will? The vast majority of news outlets quite correctly report on attacks against other minorities, but neglect attacks on Jews. I've just heard Anthony's report And that relates exactly to what I feel. That's from Jeff. So Jeff, I don't think that no anti-Semitic incident should be reported. I just wonder if that should just continue to be the focal point, no matter how big or small. And I'd love your thoughts. Jeff clearly disagrees with me. I'm not even sure I agree with me. But as Anthony was saying before about the Holocaust and connection, he doesn't know where he stands on some of the issues that were dear to our parents. I remember my father would not buy a Telefunken TV. He had to buy a Philips because he would not have a German TV in the house. To some extent, of course, it was absurd. There were, but it was just how it was. Now, I don't relate to that.
It was a statement being made, though, Howard. I mean, it was a statement that was being made, and I think that we have to respect those statements.
Oh, absolutely.
And the question is whether those statements are still relevant today. I'm going to throw another little argument into the mix here, which is, do Israeli Jews see all of this in a different way from those Jews in the diaspora, because the incidents of anti-Semitism are more pertinent from a diaspora point of view than they are from Israeli point of view. Anti-Semitism towards Israel is really in the form of attacks from Gaza, which is a national incident. We have an army, we deal with that. We don't have to deal with that on a daily basis, on a person-to-person basis. When we go to school, when we walk into an office, when we go to a restaurant, we don't have to deal with anti-Semitic incidents on a personal level. Maybe that's different for diaspora Jews, and maybe, Israelis don't understand, appreciate, respect some of the issues that diaspora Jews have to tolerate.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. We'll, of course, as we've said, continue that conversation more tomorrow. The New York Times reported that Israel advised the U.S. government of the fact that it was responsible for an attack carried out on an Iranian ship yesterday. What more is known about this? This is quite a significant development.
Well, it's a significant development, but it's more of the same in a sense, because we've seen these tit-for-tat attacks going on between Iran and Israel in the maritime world. And the latest attack was carried out, we understand, by Israel, if we believe the report from the New York Times, was carried out by Israel yesterday on a ship that has actually been stationary just outside of the Suez Canal for something like 3 years. And even though this ship is formally labeled as a merchant ship, it seems to have been moored just outside of the Suez Canal for this extended period of time. It also has very, very strong links to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And therefore, as far as the Israeli government is concerned, and as far as Israeli security and intelligence is concerned, this ship has been involved in some sort of intelligence work on behalf of the Iranian government. And I suspect that that is the reason why Israel has chosen to attack this ship. Now, we've seen these tit-for-tat attacks backwards and forwards on ships. An Israeli ship was reported to have been attacked. We didn't see any ships actually sinking, even though the attack that was carried out yesterday is reported to have been carried out below the waterline, and some significant damage was done to that ship, if we believe the reports from the New York Times. But yet, we don't really know much more about that, except for what's written in the New York Times. And some of it is really quite believable, although, we're not quite sure whether all of the information that's been relayed is as it is. But what we also know is that the U.S. Minister, Secretary for Defense, is due to visit Israel next week. And this is reported by one of the Israeli news outlets. And the context of the visit, we understand, is to try to deal with these maritime incidents that continue to go on between Israel and Iran. And again, another part of the background is, of course, the meetings that have been taking place in Vienna, took place yesterday between P5+1 countries and Iran over the possibility of the United States getting back into the nuclear agreement, the Iranian nuclear agreement. Iran says those discussions went very well and that the U.S. is poised to re-enter the nuclear agreement. The U.S. government is not quite so forthcoming. Apparently, there will be another meeting later this week, which is due to meet about that. But it does seem as if the Biden administration is quite intent on re-entering that particular nuclear agreement, something which I personally don't understand, especially when you take into consideration the violations, the public violations, the unashamed violations that have been going on between Iran and the countries that have entered into that agreement. So all of this is very fascinating indeed, and one just wonders whether this is going to escalate a little out of control. At the moment, it seems still to have some level of control about it, but definitely some level of warfare being waged on the waters of the international waters at the moment.
Yeah, no question that this is developing into something, and I shudder to think where this one is going. Anthony Wright, it's 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at around about 7:45.